heard that song coming away on the way here on the radio. One of the most famous songs that we all know in Christendom. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. I was 4 years old when I got glasses. I'm 47 and I still have them because I have issues with my eyes. Does anyone else here have eye problems? A couple hands. If there was 500 people here, they better all raise their hand. Because we all have eye problems. We all have eye problems. Thank you. Some worse than the other. But we all have eye problems. The title of my sermon is Keeping Your Eyes on Your Eyes. Keeping your eyes on your eyes. When I was about 6 years old, I was at a camp out in my living room with a buddy of mine. It was New Year's Eve. And, you know, when you're little, you like camping out. So we're camping out there. And it was probably about 1 o'clock. I heard the door open, and my dad and mom came in with the guy I was sleeping with, my neighbor, his mom and dad. And I just heard Mr. Beal saying, Conrad, that's my dad. He goes, Conrad, you sure are eating crow tomorrow. And it caught, you know, the next morning I asked my mom, I go, Mom, what's crow? What's eating crow? What is Dad going to eat? And I knew it was some type of bird, but interesting enough, my mom says, well, I can't explain it to you. It doesn't actually mean eating a bird, a nasty, filthy bird. So interesting enough, when I was preparing this sermon on our eyes, I read the origin of that. Everyone has heard that phrase before? When you're eating crow? Raise your hand if you heard that before. Okay, some hands. The origin of eating crow is ultimately unknown, but most authorities in the subject cite an incident that took place during a truce in the War of 1812. Apparently, an unarmed British officer encountered an American hunter near the Niagara River, gained control of his musket, then forced him to eat the crow he had just shot. See, he was just shooting for fun. He forced him to eat the crow. The American complied, but when the officer gave him back his gun, he forced the British officer to do the same thing. Crows are disagreeable birds and are not suitable for eating. Eating crow, therefore, is an especially unpleasant and humiliating thing to do. So all in all, to eat crow means to suffer humiliation. And specifically to be forced to admit to having made an error as by retreating an emphatic statement. Christian circles have big eye problems these days. Big eye problems. There was an old song, anybody remember Mac Davis from back in the 70s and 80s? Mac Davis, I got a nod, another hand over there. He made a song famous in 1980. It was an old Irish folk song. It goes like this. Here's the opening line. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best I can. It is interesting when I looked that up, who actually wrote that. There's no history on who wrote it, but there had to be at least 10 to 15 covers of that song. Why was that song so popular? Because people like talking about themselves, don't they? People love talking about themselves. Muhammad Ali, everyone knows Muhammad Ali, right? Yep. Two of his famous quotes. It's hard to be as humble when you're as great as me. It's one of his most famous quotes, probably next to the butterfly and sting like a bee, but it's hard to be as humble when you're as great as me. Isn't it interesting what he's been doing the last 20 years? Can barely move, can barely talk. He's not saying that no more, is he? He's humble now. Thank you, Bob. It sure wasn't his own self doing the humbling. I think God has a bigger plan. He's not saved. Maybe he will be before he dies. He's getting near. He's real close to death as we speak. Here's another one he said. Muhammad Ali. At home, I'm a nice guy, but I don't want the world to know it. Humble people, I found, don't get very far. Yesterday, looking, I didn't know if he was dead or not, really. I was looking yesterday. His brother 2 months ago, he was interviewed, said, if there's anybody that deserves to go to heaven, it's my brother, Muhammad. And this is the reason, because of all the people that he's done good for. He then ended his statement like this. There's nobody who knows a name. There's nobody in the world who doesn't know my brother's name, Muhammad Ali. He's right up there with Jesus Christ. You know. Here's 8 quotes I wrote involving humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. A man wrapped up in himself makes a very small bundle. That's a good one. Flattery is all right as long as you don't inhale. You kind of like the Bill Clinton or other politicians, I didn't inhale. None are so empty as those who are full of themselves. When someone sings his own praises, he always gets the tune too high. I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. We got a lot of that going around. A lot of people telling us how to act, how to behave, and they're just doing it by rote. They don't even care to ask you how you're doing. They just start telling you what you got to do. And the last one I had wrote here was, this is my favorite of the 8. Some people are born at third base, and they go through life thinking they hit a triple. You get it? A lot of people, a lot of pastor's sons, elder sons, people that are taking over churches, they're born in this position as if they earn it because of where they were born. And they go through life thinking they know everything. And they're to do this position. It's a big problem in our church today. All these seminary students, theologians, doctors, PhDs, pastors, title after title after title, reverends. Eugene and me were talking about it. Now that, you know, apostles are growing more than ever now, bishops, title after title after title, taking away from Christ. Listen to what the Bible says about a man that was very humbled. In Job, I don't have time to read all this or we'd be here all day, but I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version, the Cliff Notes on Job chapter 29, 30, and 31. Here's the Cliff Notes of chapter 29. Ready? I. That's chapter 29. You understand? He does the same in 30 and 31. I don't want to waste more time saying all that. 3 chapters of the Bible and Job says I 61 times, me, mine, or my 127 times. You understand? Do you think Job had a problem? I'm tired of hearing people preaching saying Job didn't have a problem. All these things were taken away from him. He didn't do nothing wrong. Are you kidding me? Chapter 32 reads this. The first verse, chapter 32:1 says, so these 3 men, his friends, so these 3 men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. You get it? There's people around us every day. You can't tell them anything because they won't listen. I'm talking about Christians. That's right. Amen. They won't listen because they're too smart. They're righteous in their own eyes. Their eye and eyes are the same. Their eyes are on their eyes. They're not listening. We've heard it said before. What makes a good listener? Think about it. When somebody communicates to you and talking to you, you have two eyes to focus on them and two ears to listen to them. Let them tell you about their story, why they're hurting, and stop barraging them with I. Oh, I know how you feel. I did this. I did that. Listen. Focus on them. Interesting, in Romans, you think Paul knew about eyes? Absolutely, Paul knew about eyes. I'm not going to read it again. I'm just going to give you a little glimpse, and we know Romans so well. But in Romans 7, my subchapter in my Bible, Romans 7 says, man's internal war. You see? This is a famous chapter when Paul says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, I do. You see? Paul's explaining what the number one internal problem man has. And in chapter 7, I encourage you to read Job tonight, this week. Read Romans 7. He says, I or me 44 times in one chapter. You see? 44 times in one chapter he's explaining. Okay? He's not talking about any other types of sins. He's talking about man's eternal war starts with I, the pride of life. Standing in the middle of that word pride is what? I. Standing in the middle of the word sin is what? I. Standing in the middle of the word blind, as we sang earlier, I. We all have eye problems. So, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? See, when I was a child, and every year since, maybe I go a couple years, but every year since, I have to go to the eye doctor to get my eyes checked to see if they're getting worse. Okay? I'm still holding out for that line. The doctors wanted me to have that line, and some of you older folks here know what that line means in your glasses. I'm trying to hold out till at least I'm 50 before I get the line in there. But my eyes are getting worse. But interesting enough, I didn't know I had an eye problem as bad as I did until I was 27 years old when I was saved. Then I really knew I had an eye problem. We need eye exams. So what I did was I just explained to you, there's six different eye problems we could have. There's two minor ones and there's four major ones. And each time I go to the doctor, he looks for these issues with me by the charts and the drops and that puff of air that shocks you. You know, everyone knows about those things. The first of these eye problems that we're checked for, and I need you to check for them in your life, is dry eyes. People have dry eyes. Dry eyes happens when your tear glands cannot make enough tears or produce poor quality tears. Dry eyes can be uncomfortable, causing itching, burning, or rarely some loss of vision. This is dry eyes. And I ask you, do you have a case of spiritual dry eyes? And this is what I mean by spiritual dry eyes. And a lot of you men, I'm going after you with this issue. Are you constantly holding back tears so you can look like a man, so you can look strong and not weak? Are you constantly holding back because you're embarrassed what people will think about you? You know, my wife had a case of dry eyes when I met her. It was probably 6 years into our marriage, maybe 5 years, when she first cried. Because she was a firefighter, so she was trained not to have any emotion. Whether you're scraping babies off the floor or taking someone off the noose that just committed suicide, there's no emotion. And I remember arguing with her about something, and she started crying, and I'm like, finally! I mean, she's like, what? I mean, you're finally crying, you broke through. But see, she had spiritual dry eyes. Okay? She had to humble herself to know she's a human being. Jesus Christ cried. He wept. Second problem we may have is tearing. So there's a problem with your eyes. You could have dry eyes. The second one is tearing. Having too many tears can come from being sensitive to light, wind, or temperature changes. Protecting your eyes by shielding them or wearing sunglasses can sometimes solve this problem. So I know you all, maybe the wind's blowing in your eyes before and you start tearing. You guys understand what I'm saying? That's an actual clinical problem you could have. It's called tearing. So how about you? Do you have spiritual tearing? Do you have too many tears? Excuse me, are you sensitive to the light? I mean, if a brother comes and gently rebukes you by showing you scripture, giving you the light, are you running from it? Are you hiding from it? Do you start crying or whining if someone gently rebukes you? Or how about someone blowing wind at you? We know this one. If somebody's long-winded at you, they just won't shut up. They're just talking and talking. Whether they're giving you the truth or false, whether they're giving you biblical scripture or not, they're just talking and talking and talking. Is that bothering you? Or are you humbling yourself to listen to them, to try to find out the true reason he's sitting there and talking to you? Because normally when somebody's long-winded talking to you, it has nothing to do with what they're talking about. You get it? They want someone there in their life for a certain reason. But see, if you have an issue, you're not going to try to help them. Or how about temperature changes? Husband and wives know this. Sometimes our husband or our wife, their moods go up and down, just like the temperature, right? High and low, high and low. You see where I'm going with this? Are you humbly trying to figure out what's going on, or are you putting the sunglasses on and walking away? I challenge you, next time Danny or Brian, your wife's yelling at you, put your sunglasses on, and you'll remember this conversation. Those are just minor eye problems we can usually take care of with sunglasses or eye drops. But now we get into some major issues. Obviously, when I was 4 years old and had to wear glasses the rest of my life, there must be something wrong, some major issue. Obviously, when people go blind, as they do, there's issues involved. And everybody can agree, usually when you go blind, it's an issue you could have avoided years ago. Amen? I was driving here this morning. My car overheated. I had to pull over. The car stopped. So am I going to get upset and say, Lord, why are you doing this? I'm going to preach. No. I had to humble myself knowing that my hose was leaking for the last month and a half and I just kept putting jugs of water in every day. Did I actually think that's going to last for the next year? No. Now, there's some issues. I need to get some money, whatever. But it was all planned. Lord, this Friday I'm taking it in to my mechanic who's 2 miles from my house. You see? It's the same thing with your eye problems. They don't just happen. There's issues. And we need to do an exam. We need to catch these problems before you go blind. Because people think amazing grace, I was once was blind, now I see. You think after you're saved, you don't get blind again? Are you kidding me? People go back to the sins, and we'll talk about that, and they end up being blind again. So the first major eye issue is presbyopia. Anybody has heard of presbyopia? Well, you probably heard of the symptoms when I give them to you. This is the loss of the ability to clearly see close objects or small print. It is a normal process that happens slowly over lifetime. But you may not notice any change until after 40. Okay? This is what I have. This is slowly over the time I'm getting, worse and worse. Now, we all have it. Usually after 40, you might get I just happen to have it my whole life. Presbyopia is often corrected with reading glasses, as my wife's been wearing for the last 4 years, reading glasses. How about you? Are you satisfied with just being saved? See, just being saved is the big picture, okay? If you have presbyopia, you can't read. Okay, you can't read. But you can see. You can drive. I can drive without my glasses. Some of us know it as nearsightedness, farsightedness, okay, but I can drive and see the big picture. And the point I'm asking you, are you just satisfied with just being saved? That's the big picture. That's the broad way, the broad road you're living on. It's full of destruction. Or are you coming into the narrow way? The narrow way. And focusing on what is important. Being more like Christ. Being here today. Learning from Scripture. Growing. If you're monitoring the close objects, like your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your daily devotions, your daily Bible reading, these daily individual tasks, like reading your Bible, loving your family, paying your bills, sounds menial, but these are important individual small things that are sometimes very humbling and come with no instant reward. But they're huge in God's eyes. They're huge in God's eyes. Danny was speaking to me before we started singing, and I'm almost saying, take the mic, because that's what we were speaking. He was telling me these things that are written down in my notes. Mary Carpenter, Jerry Fitzgerald, I put them down here. They're just two people that came to mind when I wrote this particular section that did not have spiritual presbyopia. They were concerned with the issues in front of them, around it, the little things. And not the grandeur of applause and getting their names with titles and getting their diplomas. The second major eye problem is cataracts. We all know cataracts, right? We've heard cataracts. Oh, yep, cataracts. Cataracts are cloudy areas that develop within the eye lens. Since the lens in a healthy eye is clear like a camera lens, light has no problem passing through the lens to the back of the eye, to the retina, which images are processed. When a cataract is present, the light cannot get through the lens as easily, and as a result, vision can be impaired. Again, cataracts often form slowly. They don't happen overnight. They cause no pain, redness, or tearing in the eye. Some stay small and do not alter eyesight. They just hang back there. If they become large or thick, cataracts can usually be removed by surgery. How about you? Do you have a case of spiritual cataracts? Is there some pride in your life? Are you hard-headed about certain issues? Biblical or in general? You can get hung up on some trivial argument, like who's the best quarterback in the NFL, right? That ever played the game, Dan Marino. But anyways, you can get caught up in that argument, and it can cause friction between you and a brother. So spiritual or not, are you hard-headed about things? Or are you trying to humble yourselves? Even if you know you're right, it doesn't matter. Where the light of the word just can't get through. Some people, close people of ours that are Christians, the light of the word can't get through. What makes them think you talking to them is going to get through? It's not going to happen. I think many Christians have spiritual cataracts. I think they need an exam. I think they need surgery. Third major problem for eyes is glaucoma, another one we know of. This condition occurs when there is a typical and progressive deterioration of the optic nerve. Glaucoma is often associated with an increased pressure on the eye. The eye is like a tire that generally has a normal and safe pressure. When the pressure is increased, it can be associated with damage to the optic nerve. Years ago, I was inflating a tire, and the gauge was broke at this gas station, and it blew. Talk about a shock. That tire blew right in front of me, and it just sent me back. It was a shocking thing. And that's the same with glaucoma. It presses on the optic nerve and can cause damage. Most people with glaucoma have no early symptoms. You get the thread here? Eye problems, there's no early symptoms. That's why you have to do an exam on your eyes. It's very important to get your eyes checked by an eye doctor regularly. How about you? Are there peers that are pressuring you? Again, you know, we're as adults here, we're stuck on this peer pressure, always thinking about teenagers and drinking or sex. I mean, that's what we think about, peer pressure. What about your own peers? Are you pressured into thinking a certain way? And Bible, you're the only one that stands alone in a certain passage? Are you pressured into just going their way? Are you pressured into watching movies that you're offended by but they're not? Are you pressured to go have a cottage up north because everyone else in your assembly does, or go golfing? I'm not saying none of those are wrong. Did I say any of those are wrong? No, I'm saying, are you pressured to go against what the Lord's doing in your life because of your peers? Christians, are Christians pressuring you to push beyond what God has told you not to do? Humble yourself. Don't let the pressures of people at work, people that are saved, people that are not saved, don't let the pressures of bills, your health, or any other issue affect your relationship with the Lord. If you allow your pressure to affect you, anything, you have an issue. The fourth eye problem you can have, major eye problem, is conjunctivitis. This is a condition in which the tissue that lines the eyelids and covers the cornea becomes inflamed. It is sometimes called pink eye. We've heard of pink eye, right? Or red eye. It can cause redness, itching, burning, tearing, discharge, or a feeling of something in the eye. Conjunctivitis occurs in people of all ages and can be caused by infection, exposure to chemicals, and other irritants. How about you? Do you have spiritual conjunctivitis? Are you hanging with people you shouldn't be hanging with? Going places you shouldn't be going? And allowing other irritants in your life to take you in a place where you have to defend and constantly set yourself up for confrontations that require you to be humble and apologize to all those that you've hurt. Your eye is inflamed, and pride needs to be deflated. Okay, Brad, you've given us all these issues. You've pretty much told us that everyone has an eye problem, and you do, okay? So what can we do about this? What are some of the cures? What can we do? Well, I just wrote down a couple cures here for your eye problems. Because only God knows, along with you, what issues you need to work on, what eye problems you have. And the first one, we often associate with the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. Well, as we know, the disciples used to break bread probably every day. So they probably were examining themselves every day. I love the worship here, and my whole life since I've been saved, well, actually 2 years after I was saved, when I went to Lakeside, I've been breaking bread weekly. But it doesn't mean I don't give thanks to the Lord daily. There's times I haven't. There's times I've been blind. There's weeks, months go by. You need to examine yourself minimum once a week. Examine yourself. Talk to those that will give you a right answer. You know, we go to a doctor. We can't spell his name. We go there because insurance is going to pay for it. How many people here go to a doctor and you pay for it fully, double the amount because he's a good doctor and I know him? Does anybody raise their hand? You go to a doctor and you pay double the amount you would normally pay because it's a certain guy? Oh, well, that's good. Then you don't maybe don't have an eye problem here. My point is this. Most people follow their insurance. What insurance will cover? They'll go to a doctor they don't know. You get it? If you'll do that, why not, in your spiritual walk, take an exam of yourself? You know? Examine your life, and go to people that care about you, like your spouse or your elder or a good friend that you can talk to about issues you may have on your pride. Number two, of course, repent. I mean, there's tons of verses. I could have spent 10 minutes giving you verses on repent. One I just wrote was Acts 8:22. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Okay? If there is an issue where you've been prideful, where you've done some things I've listed in the last 20 minutes, tell the Lord you're sorry. He'll give you your eyesight back. You understand? Clearly, God who made us and our eye problems, you've heard what I just said. Clearly, most of them, unless you get struck instantly in an accident or something, most of them are over time. And many men who've fallen away will tell you it didn't just happen yesterday or last month. I started looking at pornography 10 years ago, and it just gradually gets worse. I just took a drink 10 years ago. Everything just gradually gets worse. Pride, lust, greed, everything. The pride of life, everything starts somewhere. And unless you examine yourself, repent, it's just going to keep going one direction. So examine yourself. Number two, repent. Number three, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. I started writing some verses down about giving thanks. And of course, again, we'll go over, but I'm just going to rattle. I stopped writing. There's so many verses on giving thanks. 2 Samuel 22:50, 1 Chronicles 16:8, 1 Chronicles 16:34, Psalms 18:49, 97:12, 105:1, 106:1, 106:47, 107:1, 118:1, 118:29, 119:62, 122:4, 136:1, 136:2, 136:3, 136:26, 140:13. Do you think David gave thanks to the Lord? Do you think David gave thanks to the Lord? Are you kidding me? But he didn't examine himself till after Bathsheba. He had eye problems throughout his whole life. His eye problems are what caused him to be running and running and running. I don't have time. That's another sermon. David had a huge eye problem. But he went blind, literally, thinking he could get away with it. Then finally, he went to Dr. Jesus, didn't he? And he was cured. Praise Jesus. And he gave thanks and give thanks and give thanks. And if the Lord has delivered you from something, give thanks every day. Every day, every day. Don't let a day go by or something will creep in. That irritant will get in your eye and you'll blow it off. And it'll just keep growing again over and over. And everything gives thanks. Colossians 1:3, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Revelation 4:9, Revelation 11:17, give thanks. So we examine ourselves about our pride in our eyes. We repent, we give thanks. Number four, we humble ourselves and tell Dr. Jesus that you will try and get better habits to prevent future eye problems. You get it? I'd be a fool not to listen to my doctor, not wear glasses. I'd be a fool not to do that. But people do it. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5-6, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and give grace to the humble. The humble. The humble. The complete opposite of I. Humility. Humble yourself. And then the last thing is have a follow-up visit. When you've determined your eye problem, you've repented, you give thanks to the Lord, you've humbled yourself. Have a follow-up visit to all those that you hurt. Why not just say, okay, Lord, you know, I remember doing this to him, doing this to him. Follow up with that person. If the Holy Spirit leads you, do some follow-ups. And humble yourself. And tell somebody that you're sorry you hurt them because of your pride and your issues. I only got about 5 minutes. I want to conclude with what I consider one of the most famous Christian poems of all time, in my opinion. I heard this when I was young. Many Catholics cite this poem. We had a poster or a thing of it in our house. I had a plaque of it. I had a Bible case of it after I was saved. It's called Footprints in the Sand. Anybody's heard that? Raise your hand if you heard it. Good. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then I carried you. You think that's biblical? Does anyone think that's a biblical poem? There's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus, or God, anyone in the Bible says he's going to carry you through your trials at all times. There's nowhere in here that says he's going to carry you at all times through your trials. This poem was written by a girl. When I was looking this up, there was a big lawsuit years ago about it because someone took it, marketed it, made tons of money. Then they found notes in this girl's, people proved that that was her signature, that was her writing from years prior, and now she gets the rights. Just like everything man does. It was a man-made poem about man, man, man. This is how it should read. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of life there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This bothered him and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why I needed you. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was because you told me you could handle it. You told me you got it under control. You told me you didn't have time for me. You weren't listening to me. You then told me to leave you alone, which I did. And you wallowed in the pig pen, consumed with self-righteousness until finally you went blind. It was then that you wanted me back. Two sets of footprints once again. That is what it should read. He never left the beach. He's always there watching us. But he lets us go through this by ourselves when we can't get it through our thick skulls. The pride of life. The pride of life. To conclude, every day there are Christians, saved and unsaved. What? Unsaved Christians? Absolutely. Every day there are Christians, saved and unsaved, that stop listening to wise counsel, stop heeding the Holy Spirit, and ultimately stop reading the Bible. God leaves the beach, and one set of footprints remain. Ultimately, there, the problems get so bad they go blind. The tide comes in, and they're taken away by the tide. Read about Samson sometime in the future. Samson, who was a judge, consumed with his own pleasures, his eyes lusting after women. He eventually physically had his eyes put out, didn't he? You remember that story? His selfish eyes caused his eyes to be plucked out, and he was killed. Remember, I once was blind, but now I see. Christians are going spiritually blind every day, and it always starts with some sort of minor eye problem. Let's pray. Father, we come humbly to you today. We thank you for these words you put on my heart, Lord. And I ask to be humble, Lord, by seeing those around me that may just not get it, Lord, the way you've explained it to me. It's all about being humble. I hope everyone here that listened to this message today, Lord, can start working on their humility in their lives, Lord. Keeping their mouth quieter. speaking softlier, doing the things that your word exhorts us to do, Lord. We thank you for sending you the word to us to help us guide through all these issues we have each day in our lives. Most importantly, Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus, Dr. Jesus, to come and cure us, Lord. We are healed for eternity, Lord, but it's this life we're living in now that's the problem. That's the issues. And we need to cling to him. We need to heed the Holy Spirit, the gift that Christ sent to us as believers. We have no excuse, Lord, to want to get better and stay in our fellowships and stay in our Bible and serve you, Lord, so we don't have these eye problems. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.